Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8385. Thanks for your support. Brian Goodell needs to reschedule the interview today, so we're going to play some comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. The comment line is open for you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We leave it open for you because we know that so many of you are listening on demand, not live, and on-demand listeners don't get to ask their questions during the show. On-demand listeners don't get to add their comments during the show. And sometimes you have a show suggestion, you have a criticism, you don't get a chance to respond to something you don't like during the show, so we have the Issues Etc. comment line open for you. We've recently changed the number. Here it is, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Let's begin with some comments about pluralism and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
This is Herman with a garnered situation report on the ELCA. One of its national magazine, the Lutheran of recent edition, and the recent present, has featured an article by some of their so-called theologians that they say essentially that Christians, Jews, and Muslims worship the same God. So beyond the homosexual issue, they seem to be advancing or wanting to lead on that front. In regard to the homosexual issue, The head of the ELCA, Hansen, has been junketing around the country to the homosexual seminar meetings and programs of the Lutherans Concerned, a homosexual advocacy organization, and speaking there. Notice at that website of Lutherans Concerned that they list about 25 of the 65 synods of the ELCA as being what are called reconciled in Christ. That means that the apostate doctrine is put on that somehow Jesus has fully affirmed homosexuality and that the practice is welcome there and supported, etc., etc. So that seems to be a kind of a momentary overview of what's going on. You may have other sources than I do in terms of information, but just wanted to throw that onto the stack there. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't think it comes as any surprise. I mean, only the most willingly naive would see what's been happening in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in the last 10 years, especially what's been happening around its current president, Mark Hansen, and say, well, this is all the farther they want to go. But they've always played that game, haven't they? It is what theological liberalism does, inevitably. Their MO, their modus operandi, is unfailingly consistent. They will tell you, look, all we want, we're not asking for much. All we want is a little compromise on just this thing. But it never stops there. Never. Now, Bishop Mark Hansen, if you would have talked to him 10 years ago, would have told you that he's open-minded about the acceptance of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered persons into the life of the church and into the pulpits and altars of the church. He's open-minded to it. He wants to hear both sides of the debate on it. We've now learned that, of course, it's not open-mindedness that was driving him, but in fact, an advocacy. I don't know why he couldn't just come out and say 10 years ago, look, I think that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered persons ought to be pastors in our church. Well, I can tell you why he couldn't come out and say it. Because he said it 10 years ago before they softened up the opposition, before they drove the opposition out of the church by attrition, and before they crafted some very cleverly, this is what apostasy sounds like. When a synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America accepts homosexuality as God-pleasing, in spite of what they readily admit is in the Bible, and they call it being reconciled in Christ. That's what apostasy sounds like. You think apostasy sounds like we deny Jesus, we don't believe what the Bible says. That's not what they're saying in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They're saying we know what the Bible says, we affirm it, but we've heard a new word from God, and to be reconciled in Christ and to act according to a scripture-bound conscience is requiring us to ignore what the Bible says. And they say it's all about being reconciled in Christ. That's what apostasy sounds like. We'll be right back.
I will answer if you follow.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're listening to the Issues Etc. comment line. Do not let me forget, I have more to say about Bishop Mark Hansen and the apostasy of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The Issues Etc. iPhone app is being very well received by our listeners, along with its brother, the Android app. What these are little applications, little programs for your smartphone, for your handheld device, be it an iPhone or an Android-based device. They allow you to access everything that is Issues Etc. from your device. You can take Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. You can find the Issues Etc. iPhone app. It also works on the iPad, too, and the Android app at our website, issuesetc.org. They're absolutely free, and if you're one of the first things you do after you get one of these smartphones, you start getting all sorts of applications. This should be on the top of your list, especially since it's free. The Issues Etc. iPhone or Android app. Issuesetc.org. Thanks for downloading it. Thanks for using it. And we really appreciate hearing from our listeners and interacting with our listeners with the Issues Etc. iPhone and Android apps. I still had a thought, and I lost my train of thought before we went to the break on Bishop Mark Hansen, why he wouldn't 10 years ago just come out and admit that this is what he wanted to have happen in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Why wouldn't he just come out and admit it? It was too soon. Theological liberalism is nothing if not patient. It is willing to wait, knowing that if you can get a church body, pastors, and congregations to look the other way when it comes to Scripture, that is, ignore or explain away the clear word of Scripture, you can get anything done you want. You can accomplish anything. It may take time, but you can accomplish anything if you can just get pastors and congregations to look the other way when it comes to God's Word. And that's all Bishop Hansen was doing 10 years ago. He was biding his time. He knew that he had already, and I'm not trying to assign him sinister motives. This is just the way it works. Does he have sinister motives? Well, maybe he does. What he's doing is certainly sinister. I don't know if his motives are sinister or not. He may think he's doing the right thing. Simply biding his time. He knew that he had already accomplished, that all much had already been accomplished in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America by way of ignoring Scripture. And the groundwork had been laid. There were still those who, while willing to look the other way on certain passages, were uncomfortable about looking the other way on passages on homosexuality. They thought it's just too plain. It's just too clear. There's just so little doubt about what the Bible says about this particular sexual deviancy. But with enough time and enough, well, quote-unquote, study, notice they're not studying God's Word, they're studying the different perspectives on God's Word. There's a big difference between studying God's Word for what it says and studying what you want God's Word to say or what you would hope it had said. But with enough time and enough study and enough relentless political action within that church body, it would happen, and it did. And now that it has, and now that most of those who were going to disapprove anyway have left the church, now he is free to go about the church as he is, as Herman pointed out, go about the church saying, this is what I wanted all along. And everybody knew it. It was a wink-wink kind of a thing, which only goes to show that theological liberalism, because it does not have the truth on its side, can never, ever be completely honest. When liberalism operates inside the church, theological liberalism operates inside the church, one of its hallmarks, one of its unmistakable signs is that it cannot be honest. If you do not have the truth on your side, you can't afford to be honest. If you are asking people to look the other way on the clear word of God, you can never be honest about it. If it were honest, who knows? I mean, they might find people, they would find people still agreeing with them. But they've learned that they can get a lot more done by not telling the truth than by admitting what it is they want to have accomplished in the church. Next up, some feedback from last week's interview with Mark Pearson about the formal and material principles of biblical interpretation.
This is Paul in Milwaukee, as suggested, giving a personal background for listeners. I believe the Bible and teach and write history, serve as an LCMS elder, and understand that I have the college pigskin proclivities of Issues Etc. regular guests, Drs. Sherb and Rast. I believe appreciative Issues Etc. listeners, for the sake of the gospel, should do more for the program than say, be warm and be fed. Regarding the February 21 formal and material principles of Scripture program, I appreciated the clear explanations there, having been baffled by print teaching before. The guest called on listeners to subject the Bible to tests trained historians would apply to sources. Certainly demanding physical evidence for early North American synagogues and calling for verification of other claims can separate fact from fiction. The trained historian tries to get as close as he can to the truth by seeking evidence of document authenticity, author credibility, by determining what the author meant as opposed to what he literally said, by weighing eyewitness accounts against witness competency, among other methods. He is taught, and he finds, that all worldly knowledge is fragmentary but still worth pursuing. 19th century higher criticism and the Jesus Seminar turned such historical methods against Scripture, for example, in analysis of language of two or more accounts of the same biblical narrative. We believe the Bible to be true because of the faith that God has put into us. Yes, we are a new creation. His work, not our fallen reason, enables us to confess without mental reservation, as Jesus in the high priestly prayer, that we trust the Father and can truly say with the Son that the Word comes from the Father through Christ to us, and that the Word that sanctifies us is truth. John 17:17. Thanks for listening.
Well, it's a good observation. I would say you're quite right that the higher critical method used the techniques of history, we should say abused the techniques of history, to undermine the Bible. They were unfair with the Bible. It's that simple. The Bible, in their estimation, rather than being innocent until proven guilty, was guilty until proven innocent. That was their presupposition. They weren't good critics of the Bible. They weren't even good historians. Had they been good historians, they would have said, let's do what they said they were doing, treating the Bible like any other book. But they didn't. They didn't treat the Bible like any other book. The first thing that the historical critics did was to chuck out miracles altogether, a priori, without examination, simply rule them out of hand, off the table. Miracles had to go. And if the miracles had to go, then shouldn't we really be suspecting all sorts of other things in the Bible? It always starts this way. It starts with, that couldn't have happened. And then you begin to doubt the things that could have happened. And that's how historical criticism continued apace until about the middle of the 20th century, until it itself began to fall apart. What's the use of studying a Bible that is unreliable? What's the use of studying a Bible if it's nothing more than myths? Now, here's where I would differ with the commenter. And he's quite right that the reason we trust God's Word is because of the miracle of faith worked in us by the Holy Spirit through that Word. If it were not for the Holy Spirit acting through God's Word, none of us would believe that the Bible is true. We might believe that parts of it are true, but we certainly wouldn't believe its central message. We wouldn't doubt that. We might not even doubt the historicity of it. We would just say that that Jesus guy who died on the cross wasn't doing it for us. That can only be the miracle of faith worked by the Holy Spirit. And while it is true that we believe the Bible because of the gift of faith, we believe the Bible to be true because of the gift of faith, it is not our belief that makes it true. Both things must be maintained. We believe that the Bible is true because of the gift of faith given to us by the Holy Spirit through that Word. But our belief doesn't make it true. It is true even if we don't believe it. And that is all the apologist is trying to prove. The only thing the apologist is trying to show, I shouldn't say the word prove, because prove makes it sound like something can be proven 100%, and any lawyer will tell you that nothing can be proven 100%. What the apologist is trying to show is that the Bible is true even if no one believed it. Even if we examine it only as a matter of history, as we would examine any other claims of history. How do we get history? Somebody wrote something down that they saw. If that's all we have is just the historical claims, it is still abundantly, as far as the evidence can show, and evidence can only take you so far, but the evidence all points in the direction of its veracity, not against its veracity. This is something that's often misunderstood about the task of apologetics. The task of apologetics is not to reason people into the faith, is not to argue people into the faith. That cannot be done. The Holy Spirit must bring and work faith in the unbelieving heart. The task of apologetics is to simply say, even if no one believed it, it's still true. It still really happened. And if you only examine the evidence, you will find that the evidence, all of it, every last shred of it, points toward the veracity of these documents, these scriptures, and not away from them. The Issues Etc. comment line, anytime you want to comment, 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.